Shane Lowry, how are you keeping?
I'm good, thanks. Well, I'm as good as I can be.
Golf Weekly, exclusively available on Patreon. Sign up now at otbsports.com/golfweekly.
The OTB Podcast Network.
The News Round on Off The Ball.
With Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
This is News Talk.
All right, it is Thursday, it's Off The Ball. Nathan with you until 10 o'clock. Hope you're keeping well. We've got a busy show. There's a lot going on in the Premier League this evening, including Liverpool against Chelsea at 8:15. Damien Delaney will be with us for the football show. He'll be keeping a close eye on that. Plenty to talk about in football as well, so that coming your way a little bit later. After 8, we will talk to Jack Conan and James Lowe. They are still inside the Irish rugby bubble. They were out at Abbottstown today at the High Performance Centre, so we managed to grab a few minutes with them. That coming your way after 8. We'll also talk with the Boston Globe's Tara Sullivan about American sport, what's going on, the latest on Tiger Woods and this somewhat peculiar spat between LeBron James and Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And at 7:30, we'll be chatting with John Giles. We'll reflect on the life of Ian St. John. 53106 is the text number. Add off the ball if you want to get in touch on social media. Richie McCormick, good evening.
How are you, Nathan?
I'm okay. Joe Malloy, how are you?
Hey lads, how you doing?
So this is going to be an awkward one with John Giles a little bit later, because we've been looking back at the 1965 FA Cup final, Joe. Ian St. John passed away during the week. His greatest moment as a Liverpool player, scoring the winner in the 65 Cup final, when the Cup final really did mean something. 100,000 people, the Queen and the Duke of Edinburgh were there to watch this. The Duke of Edinburgh at one stage, unfortunately, Joe, as the match went to extra time, wasn't best pleased. He was down to play polo at 6.
Well, of course.
And he may not have made it back in time, but it did go to extra time and Ian St. John scored the match winner for Liverpool in that. And as you look back in the footage, well, it suddenly finds himself free at the back post. And who's that Leeds number 7 sort of jogging back to challenge, but doesn't quite get there as Ian St. John does this sort of jackknife header into the back of the net. Lo and behold, it's John Giles. Questions about honesty of effort of John Giles in extra time and tracking back. So it's going to be awkward.
I presume those questions will be put to John.
Well, of course. Of course. You know, these are, it's one of his golden rules, isn't it? Honesty of effort. It's the starting point. We've already recorded John a little bit earlier.
They were down to 10 men by that stage too.
They were. Which we also got into that because there was no substitutes, actually. You ended up finishing lots of games. Jerry Byrne played on. Sorry, Jerry Byrne played on for Liverpool for pretty much the entire match. Leeds were down to 10 men. Because one of their players had gone off injured. And because there's no substitutes, this was a regular occurrence that you'd finish with 9-10 players. Without ruining what's coming up, turns out Paul Reaney was on the goal line. Reaney, he's the full back. What's he doing on the goal line standing there when Ian St. John is 4 yards away heading the ball into the back of the net? You know,
If in doubt, blame someone else. But like, for people who don't know, Jerry Byrne played on like with the broken collarbone. And there's like famous footage of him bringing the trophy around Anfield some days afterwards. With his arm in a sling, like he was absolutely wrecked and managed to play on for the remainder of the game, which is some achievement.
He was nailed very early on in the game, Joe. And again, this is one of these matches you watch back. It is shocking. The amount of fouls, just nowhere near the quality you expected when you think of those great teams. It's so stop-start. There's no rhythm to the game at all. And they just kill each other. It was Bobby Collins. Bobby Collins is 5'3", it turns out. 5'3". Who throws himself into Jerry Byrne and ends up breaking his collarbone very early in the game. But Jerry Byrne manages to play on for the whole thing. Yeah, not a classic, the 65 Cup final, it turned out.
It's interesting when you look back, and it's obviously a generalisation because there were some amazing games, obviously. But even you watch games from 20 years ago that you remember as being of a very high standard and, you know, brilliant games. And, geez, more often than not, they don't really live up, I think. I mean, the quality of football we watch now, especially in the Champions League, I think is just as good as it's ever been. And you have to judge the previous eras by that standard, you know, sports science and everything else. But yeah, stop start, lots of fouls. I'm not shocked to hear that.
Well, it's not even that. You don't even have to go back that far, Richie. Like, when we were doing, during the first lockdown, we were looking back on a lot of old games. I remember one of the classic matches we covered was the Liverpool 5, Nottingham Forest 0, which is put up there as Liverpool's greatest ever performance. And the goals they scored are spectacular, and there's some brilliant moves within the match. But you're looking at it and thinking, like, this Liverpool team are a million miles ahead of what that Liverpool team, this Manchester City team, are on a totally different level. Pitch is obviously at a different standard. The strength and conditioning is totally different. But yeah, it is hard to watch them back. There's very little enjoyment, actually, aside from the nostalgia factor in watching those games.
Even going back to like early 2000s, because I remember there was a lot of old games during lockdown volume one being shown on TV. And one of those was Ireland and Holland in 2001, when Ireland obviously sealed their qualification or their playoff against Iran. And like, the quality of that game was pretty bang average for a Holland side that had the players that they had, starting with the likes of Overmars and being able to finish essentially with a front five that you'd salivate over in normal times. And the game itself was pretty poor, not great, no rhythm to it. You'd probably look back on earlier today, I went back and for some reason was watching a bunch of old, I fell down a League Cup final rabbit hole, and I was watching Villa and Man U from 94, which I think Villa won 3-1. And even that was like okay, but there's a lot of sloppiness going on in there and a lot of stuff that has been cleaned up, not just in terms of fouls and all that, but just in terms of general play. And people are a lot more comfortable on the ball than they were back then. And that has definitely played out. But I will say, I think the entertainment factor of those games is probably a little bit better. And allied to the fact that it's something we touched on again earlier in the week when Ian St. John passed away, we only had like one bit of football or two bits of football a week. And our judgment of the game was completely telescoped by that, because we only saw an increment of what was out there generally. So our opinion of it was completely skewed. Whereas now we have a far broader base of what we see and what's available and who's doing part of what country and what division. So we're able to judge a little bit better of what the quality of football is. But there is an entertainment factor and there is a naivety about the older stuff that I think will always be attractive to people and old codgers like me.
The term end of an era has been bandied about a lot today, because you'll be sad to know, Richie, Golf Weekly, it is our last week before we move to Patreon. I'm sure you're following. I can see everybody who signed up, Richie, and your name just isn't there just yet.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
otbsports.com/golfweekly. So from next Thursday, we're going to be at Patreon. It's $3.99 a month. You can sign up now. You're guaranteed a podcast every Thursday. Extra podcasts around majors, watch-alongs. We check in with our new best friend of the pod, Troy Merritt, on the PGA Tour every few weeks as well. And lots of other bonuses in there. But the latest pod is up. Thankfully, we didn't go too far on Rory McIlroy's swing struggles, which he spoke about again this week. He has a two-way miss, he said, which when you're playing at Bay Hill and there's problems left and right, could be a bit of an issue for Rory McIlroy. But not so far, it turned out, Joe.
No, top of the leaderboard, 66. So he's been talking a bad game the last couple of weeks and then playing quite well. That's been the theme with Rory the last couple of weeks. I think he is being genuine when he says he doesn't feel totally comfortable. He did miss the cut two weeks ago at Riviera. The putter let him down a touch last Thursday. I think he was 23rd for putting overall last week, but he started today brilliantly. I mean, quite a few of his birdies today, they were tapping birdies, you know, so he just struck the ball brilliantly. I mean, it was always going to go that way, wasn't it? He was like 2 weeks ago, he was talking about how this could be a 2-3 month process to sort out my swing the way I'm feeling, but he's just too talented for that.
Yeah, there was real fears, but that's Rory. He's very open. He's very honest, and at times he just wants to put it all out there, I think. And at least it's not resting on his shoulders anymore, and it gives something for everyone to talk about and lowers expectations a little bit as well, which at this time of the year for Rory, lowering expectations is no bad thing, because we're a month away from Augusta. Right.
Well, indeed. The thing with Rory is he's so bloody good that one good round like this and expectations suddenly rise again very, very quickly. I guess the interesting thing, isn't it? We want to see him in contention Sunday. And it doesn't matter if he doesn't win, but playing really well. That's kind of what you're looking for from Rory at the moment.
Yeah, because he's had a lot of good first rounds in recent months and failed to back it up. And he's also then had slow starts and sort of had those backdoor top 10. So just a consistent four rounds. Just go win the tournament. He loves this course. He's been top fives the last 4 or 5 years. And yeah, perfect start for McIlroy on 6 under par. 5-3-1-6, the text number. I mentioned we have Liverpool-Chelsea coming up at 8:15. Damien Delaney will be with us on the football show. But two games going on at the moment, Richie.
Yeah, Seamus Coleman is again missing for Everton tonight away to West Brom. That's two games in a row now that the Republic of Ireland captain has missed through injury. There's a 6 o'clock start at the Hawthorns where it is West Brom 0, Everton 0. Approaching the hour mark, 2 at Craven Cottage where it's Fulham 0, Tottenham 1. Dele Alli's goal in 19 minutes separating the sides there. There's an 8:15 start at Anfield where Liverpool play host to Chelsea. The West London side have become miserly under Thomas Tuchel, conceding only once in his 9 games in charge so far. Jurgen Klopp was asked pre-game if his side will have to be more patient in their approach tonight.
It's a full package required, let me say like this. So you have to defend because they let the ball roll, let me say like this. There's a you have to work a lot, and then there are situations it's not like you have the ball all the time and face a deep block. There will be a deep block when we could be dominant, but in other moments they are just defending in the right way and you stand the space you give them for counter-attacks. So patient you always have to be, but I don't think this is a game we have specifically patient. You have to be patient in moments, you have to be lively in other moments, you have to be creative in moments, and you have to show your desire for defending in all the moments, because this is a top team and they will have a lot of, they will ask for a lot, and we should try to make sure that we have all the answers.
So that one gets underway at 8:15. Viv has been in touch. I once broke my sister's collarbone by jumping off the stairs and flattening her like Jimmy Fly Snuka. I hasten to add, I was 12, not the responsible 38-year-old I now am. Like, this is the fear. Are there stats for this as to when you're fighting with your brother and sister as to how often you do real damage? Because like, I have two lads who are 9 and 7 who are now at the stage where they can do real damage to each other if they want. Like, the kicks actually really hurt. Like, do you just have to let them at it and... like, that's part of having a brother, an older brother, that this is what happens? Or is one of them actually going to inflict serious damage at some stage?
I'm constantly living in fear of a trip to the hospital. I'm sure that there's one around the corner pretty much every day. Listen to the two youngest ones pretty much just mess with each other and annoy each other to the point of distraction. So, yeah, I'm with you on that one. Lock them in kind of protective suits until they're 18 so we can avoid such things.
You grew up, Joe, with a couple of brothers. Was there any long-term damage?
I was trying to think when you brought that up. I don't think so. I mean, there's plenty of damage.
You were playing that game anything... when the ads were on, weren't you, most of the time? That was as exciting.
No. No, I mean, it's... I presume it's the same for all families with brothers, like killing each other. It just seems to be the way it is. Nothing lifelong, I don't think. You wouldn't see any of us and be like, oh, that scar there. Nothing like that.
I want to know, Viv, what happened next after you flattened your sister and you could tell that this was a bit more serious than the usual crying, that the collarbone was broken. What did you do? Did you do a runner? Did you realize straight away that actually I've overstepped the mark here? You know, there's going to be some long-term pain. Parents are not going to be happy. Like, what is the appropriate punishment for breaking your sister's collarbone?
I know. What do you do when all hell breaks loose? Are you diving in there?
Oh, depends. Well, usually I'm just getting slowly more angry, silent seething, and eventually just erupt and tell one of them to go upstairs or
and
drag
do you feel
them
like a bad person after you scream at your children like that?
Oh, always. Always feel like a bad person.
So it's lose-lose, really.
And it doesn't change anything. Like, 10 minutes time, one of them is going to come back down. They don't care. Like, there's no long-lasting, you know, because one of them has kicked the other one, they forget about it in 10 minutes and they'll go at it again. So,
yeah,
it's not that pretty for anybody. Speaking of bad games, that game against Egypt in the Renzo Barbera Stadium in 1990 will live on in infamy. Yet still, they show repeats of that game for some reason. I just don't understand it. Maybe every so often people maybe feel, I couldn't have been that bad. And then you watch and go, dear God, it was.
You need to add context to the pen throwing, really, for, you know, it's a national kind of landmark. You need to understand what brought the nation to different points in terms of like its history, whether it was, you know, the Battle of the Boyne or whether it was the Rising, et cetera, et cetera. But we need to understand what came to bring Eamon Dunphy to fire that big full pelt across the studio in Montrose.
Well, speaking of Ireland and former Ireland managers, Mick McCarthy, things are going all right for him.
Yeah, they are. He's been rewarded for his excellent start as Cardiff manager with a new two-year contract. The former Republic of Ireland boss has guided the Bluebirds from 12th to the playoffs following a nine-game unbeaten run in the Championship. His new deal will keep McCarthy and his faithful assistant Terry Connor in the Welsh capital until the summer of 2023.
He's still got it, Joe.
Listen. So they had lost six in a row before McCarthy got the job. They were in free fall. He has arrived and they have gone unbeaten in 10, seven wins, three draws. They beat Derby 4-0 the other night. Wayne Rooney's worst defeat of his managerial career. We touched on this with Kev Kilbane last night. He is just a very charismatic, fair person. He gets a response from players. He clearly knows the game. I mean, it's easy to say, oh, he's not a Premier League manager, but I mean, he knows what he's doing. And certainly in that division, and in fairness at times in the Premier League, he has stood the test of time. Like, what are we talking here? Late 90s through to now. That's an extraordinary career. I think he's closing in on
mid-90s
games. Yeah, mid-90s. 1,000 games he's closing in on, which is just insane.
Yeah, in the next week or so, isn't it? He's going to be hitting that 1,000 mark. Our colleague Kieran Bradley has just WhatsApped me. Does that mean he wants it right out in there or not? I'm not quite sure. But anyways, I nailed a perfectly timed bounce on the trampoline that threw my little sister off, who broke her arm. She was so scared of hospitals that she didn't admit to it really hurting for about a week. Still, though, it was a great bounce.
I would say that is typical of Kieran.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Long-lasting impact, but it's fine. And boasting about it. Boasting about it years
later. No remorse.
Neither big nor clever, no.
What else you got?
I've got team news for you from Anfield, by the way. Liverpool have named their starting 11. Alisson returns in goal. Trent Alexander-Arnold, Fabinho, Ozan Kabak and Andy Robertson are their back four. In midfield, then, we have Gini Wijnaldum, Thiago Alcantara and Curtis Jones. And that front three, Mo Salah, Roberto Firmino and Sadio Mane. Just trying to get the Chelsea team.
I have it here for you, Richie, if you want this. Edouard Mendy in goals. Back three, Azpilicueta, Christensen and Rudiger. Chilwell and Reece James are the wing-backs, Kante and Jorginho in the middle midfield, and Mount and Ziyech either side of Timo Werner. So plenty of changes again for Chelsea. He's clearly come in and steadied the ship very quickly, Thomas Tuchel, Joe. You look at the squad every week, it's very hard to figure out what that best starting 11 is and whether with the system he wants, they're still actually going to need maybe a bit of investment during the summer.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this game this evening. Ozan Kabak in the centre of defence is still a question mark, isn't it?
It maybe having a Fabinho, that bit of experience alongside him, might settle him a little bit, but he's been thrown into the lines down here where Liverpool can't control a game. You've been asked to play a high line when they're losing possession further up the pitch. It is a nightmare scenario.
Yeah.
So tonight, like this could... It'll probably be a nil-nil, but considering what has gone on this week so far, but it does look as though it could be an absolute cracker.
Yeah, this will be great. You would hope they both go for it and press each other. And Tuchel and Klopp obviously have lots of history. They have played against each other 14 times. Tuchel's beaten Klopp twice, Klopp with 9 wins. So they know each other really well. They'll know exactly what to expect from each other. So that's another little subplot to the whole thing.
The parents could tell by the look of my... This is Viv, by the way, who's back in touch to when I asked what happened next. The parents could tell by the look of my face that I needed no further punishment. Oh, sly.
Oh,
yeah. Geez, you had them sussed, didn't you, Viv? It wasn't like my sister wasn't prone to injuring herself anyway. She once broke her nose by tripping in the schoolyard and landing face first on the edge of a bench. She's like the Terry Butcher of our family. Wow, that does sound painful. Still, the look of my face... Nah, you got away at one there, Viv. You got away at one big time.
On to Bay Hill. Rory McIlroy leads, as you mentioned there, on 6 under par, 5 consecutive birdies on his back 9. So I'm registered a round of 66, and he is one shot clear of Bryson DeChambeau. Three other Irish players currently in action. Patrick Harrington level par through his first 4 holes. Shane Lowry is 1 over through 7, and Graham McDowell struggling again today. He's 4 over through 8.
The news round on Off the Ball and News Talk with thanks to Gillette. We don't just play the game, we change. Gillette made of what matters. Rory McIlroy never fails to get the hopes up. He's becoming the Matt Kuchar of golf, a money-making machine without the wins. That harsh, Joe?
Well, it's hard to argue in recent history, isn't it? I mean, and he is a top 10 machine, even finished 6th last week. So, look, by his standards, he's good enough to win all these events.
You can't call him the Matt Kuchar guy. There's something about McIlroy that is always more electrifying than Matt Kuchar could ever be.
Oh, look, there's no difference in terms of player. Liking Rory McIlroy to Matt Kuchar is beyond ludicrous. Like, Matthew's really boring player. Rory is anything but. But you'd accept the results part a little bit, wouldn't you?
Well, the longer this goes on, the easier it'll be to make that sort of comparison, unfortunately, for McIlroy. Everton have just scored against West Brom. Richarlison, I think that's 4-4 for him now, just headed in from close range. So 65 minutes gone, West Brom 0, Everton 1.
Yeah, Fulham have just had a goal disallowed as well, or possible equaliser disallowed. Josh Maja had the ball in the net, but handball, the judgment from VAR. Peter O'Mahony has signed a new two-year contract, central contract with the RFU Munster. The 31-year-old is going to remain at the province until the summer of 2023. He joins Jonathan Sexton in committing his immediate future on the home front. It's actually been a busy day on the contract front for Munster today. Ben Healy has ended speculation regarding his future by signing a new deal at the province. The academy at half was subject to interest from Glasgow, but will graduate to the Munster senior side next season. Mike Haley, Gavin Coombs and Neil Cronin have all signed two-year contract extensions there too. Meanwhile, where are we going to next? Because I had to scroll back up. Ireland head coach Andy Farrell has attempted to put some distance between himself and this summer's Lions tour. It had been rumoured that he was likely to join Warren Gatland's coaching team for the series with the Springboks, but Farrell insists he's in the dark regarding Lions preparations.
I'm as updated as you are on all the different parts of the different ramifications that are being bounced about from day to day. So no, there's nothing that I know that's going on at this moment in time that gives any clarity on the situation whatsoever. We don't know whether there's a Lions tour going on. We don't know at this moment in time whether there's a summer tour going on with Ireland. So I suppose I hear that hopefully by the end of the month, hopefully we'll know something more concrete. Like I've always said, and it's the truth, I always do the right thing of what's the right thing for Irish rugby, you know. And at this moment in time, we don't know, like you've said, whether one tour's going ahead, whether both tours are going ahead, or vice versa, which one of the two is going ahead. So we've no clarity, no certainty on anything yet. So I suppose we'll have to wait till the end of the month.
We got a few minutes with James Lowe and Jack Conan earlier on, so we'll bring you that after 8 o'clock. But that is us done for the news round. Joe, thanks as always.
Thanks, lads.
Richie, enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, take care.
So West Brom 0, Everton 1 midway through the second half of that game, and Fulham still 1-0 down at home against Spurs. Liverpool, Chelsea coming away at 8:15. John Giles is on the way next.
The news round on Off the Ball.
With Gillette, we don't just play the game, we change it. Gillette, made of what matters.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.